This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and we have a really special guest today. Her name is Deborah Harkness, and her new book, The Book of Life, is the ending of the All Souls trilogy, and it's just out. It's a beautiful green cover. I'm looking at the cover here right now. Hello, how are you?
I'm great, David. How are you?
Hi. So is it a relief that the series is finished? You're finished writing it?
I have a great sense of satisfaction. It turns out writing a trilogy is very challenging, especially if you're a writer like me who likes inventing new characters and situations. But it took a little bit of discipline, but I got it wrapped up in three books, and that's a really good feeling to deliver.
Yeah, I remember last time we were talking for book two, you were unsure of what you were going to do for book three exactly. I mean, you had the ideas down. I remember you saying that, but you hadn't had it all worked out in your head. Is it difficult to do that?
You know, it really is. I had the destination, the ultimate destination in mind, but, you know, a few things had happened along the way that made it a little less straightforward. And actually, what was most difficult was that the story that I imagined in my mind was just way too ambitious to make, you know, a reasonable conclusion. There was just too much going on. And so it was all about really paring it back to the essential story and to really focusing it on Diana and Matthew in this missing book and following their journey. Because really that's, you know, that's what the fans are intrigued with and want to see wrapped up. And, you know, I think I now understand why so many trilogies have seven books in them. Because, you know, you get to book three and you think you're going to wrap it up. You discover, oh, no, I can't. So it was a really good exercise, but it was tougher than I had imagined.
Right, but it must have been fun at the same time. You got all these characters you're playing with, and they're all different personalities. And Matthew is certainly a personality all his own. I mean, he cracks me up sometimes. I mean,
he is. I mean, you know, because and really, one of my real challenges as a writer and something I wanted to produce was, so often academics are turned into these sort of very sort of edgeless, agreeable, charming people. And, you know, I work in academia, and we have some pretty sharp edges and sharp tongues. And so, you know, he's constantly putting his own foot in his mouth and getting into trouble because he's just a little too arrogant and opinionated for everybody around him. And I didn't want to an academic hero who wasn't like that. You know, both of them are a little bit prickly, and that was part of the fun of writing the books.
So what's been the fan response? Apparently you've had a lot of fan response about the book. What do the fans say about the series? Are they sorry to see it end? Are they sorry, or do they want more? What tell me what their reaction has been to it.
Well, up until about a month ago, all they wanted was for the third book to be in their hands so they knew how it ended. And then just about a month ago, they started all figuring out that, okay, but if this is the final book, there won't be another one, and then what will we do?
Exactly.
So the fan response has been just remarkable. They're very attached to these characters and the story, and really, you know, the series has done just what I hoped it would do, which is to give adults a really wonderfully satisfying, magical world that they can curl up in and occupy for a little while. So fans are eager to read this story. I think there's a lot of people who are, finding themselves with colds and sniffles today as they get their copies of the Book of Life and are ready to meet up with their friends who they haven't seen for a little while.
And that's the thing. When you really enjoy a book, you don't want it to end. I mean, I felt that many a time where I didn't want a book to end or a series to end because you're just enjoying it so much.
Absolutely. And yet at the same time, you know, even when the covers close, you still are left with the ability then to imagine, okay, what happens tomorrow? What happens the next day? There's always a tomorrow to be imagined and to be thought about and situations to wonder how they would respond to. So hopefully fans, even when they close the book's cover, that these characters that they love will stick around in their imagination for years to come.
Now, the family runs a lot through this book. You're big on writing about family. Do you have a big family? Are you big on family yourself?
I'm very big on family. I only have one brother. My father had only one sibling. My mother has a big family, but they're all in the UK, so we grew up, you know, not seeing them on a regular basis. But family was enormously important, and my parents' philosophy of family was very inclusive. So everybody, you know, anybody who was unattached for holidays was always at our house for them. We used to have these enormous Christmas Eve parties where the whole neighborhood was invited, and that's really the message of family that it was instilled in me growing up, was that, you know, your family are the people that you love and you feel a sense of mutual responsibility with. It doesn't matter if you're blood relations or not, and I still feel that way, and that's still sort of the family concept that I work with, that, you know, all kinds of people, related and unrelated, are part of my quote-unquote family.
So what can people expect in this book of life, the new one? Were there some surprises when you wrote it? I mean, did you take different directions than you thought you would when you were writing it?
There definitely were some different directions. I think what readers can really expect is, you know, a sense of the story sort of drawing to, you know, satisfying conclusion points, but also that sense of a bigger world where still the characters are operating, and fans will get answers to a lot of their questions, not every single one of them, because, you know, some mysteries just are never completely revealed. And I think for fans, what they most want, again, is to connect with these characters that they love. And every character in the book has got, you know, fans who love them best and want to see more of them. So that was really part of the treat of it all.
And Philippe is such an interesting character. I mean, he is just so... I mean, he's one of those characters that when he's not in the book, you kind of miss him.
Well, I miss him all the time, so that might be... I mean, Philippe is, hands down, Philippe de Clermont, the vampire patriarch of this enormous clan, is my favorite character. You know, everybody expects me to say, they ask me who's your favorite character, and they expect me to say Matthew. But actually, I'm with you. I find Philippe fascinating. I don't think I really expected him to occupy such a big place in my imagination, but I find myself thinking about Philippe de Clermont and his very long life and his very skillful manipulation of the situation and circumstances. You know, really fascinating.
He manipulates everybody around him.
And plays his cards very close to his vest. So we never, you know, somebody said to me, what is Philippe really, you know, up to? I said, that's a great question. You know, I'm not sure any of us really know what Philippe was really up to. And that's something, again, for readers to be able to look forward to in the Book of Life, sort of further exploration of, you know, what was Philippe de Clermont up to for all these years.
Exactly. Now, have you traveled to any of the places in your books at all?
I've traveled to, I think, without exception, all of them. I find it very difficult as a writer to write about places I don't know. I'm very influenced by sensory input, so smells and tastes and textures and the way that light moves is just really important to me. I'm sure that lots of writers can work out of books, but I really need to go there. So for the Book of Life, I traveled to Venice, which I had never been to before. There were lots of travels to other places that just sort of informed things in a background way. So I spent a week in Istanbul and a week in Jerusalem and more time in England. I spent a wonderful time in the Auvergne in a very small village that became the model for the village that Philippe and Matthew come from. And it enables me, I think, to, you know, have a note of authenticity in the writing about places that the fans really respond to, because for them it becomes a form of virtual travel.
And the fans watch everything. I mean, they know everything. I mean, they read these books, and every little detail has to be right, or they're all over you. What did you do? Why didn't you do this? Or why? I mean, they notice everything.
They notice is everything. I have very smart fans who are very close readers and who love this book, which means that I have to be very sure that I get things consistent. One of the things that happened, just a little anecdote with the first book, was that between the time I lived in Oxford and the time I wrote the book, a single traffic pattern was changed. A two-way street became a one-way street, and I had Matthew going the wrong way down this one-way street. Wow. And somebody said, well, he can't go that way. I said, well, he could when I lived in Oxford, and if by all rights, people still should be able to go two ways, which the people in Oxford could but agree that, yes, life had been much easier when that was a two-way street, so I got away with it. But, I mean, right down to traffic patterns, and that's the kind of thing where in your hometown, and if somebody was writing about it, you would know if they got everything sort of backwards, and it would ruin part of the experience for you. So I do really try to get it right.
These books are so enjoyable just to sit and read. I was reading it over the weekend just in a restaurant, just sitting there enjoying it. And you can't get enough. You sit there and you're like, oh, I got to go on and see what happens next. And this feeling that I've got to know what happens next, it's such a wonderful feeling when you're reading a trilogy, because you don't want it to end really, but you're just enjoying it. It's such an enjoyable series. I mean,
a series of any sort or a trilogy, I mean, it's a commitment too from between the reader and the writer, you know? I mean, we're in this together, and I really respect that the readers have made a real investment of their time and emotional energy, and it was really important to me to give you and the other readers just that experience of being swept back into that world again.
Now, do you think you'll write another trilogy?
I don't know if I've got another trilogy in me, because again, it was really tough to kind of draw it to a close. It took a lot of writerly discipline. I know I have lots more stories to tell, and I look forward to telling them, but I don't really have a firm sense of what shape they're going to take at that point. I need a little bit of a break to refill my tanks, my energy and creativity tanks a bit.
Right, which makes sense. I guess the readers just, they know what they like, and they don't realize what the author goes through to write these books sometimes. I mean, we just enjoy the reading of them. We don't think, well, maybe the writer has to take a break. You know, we don't think that way. We just think we want more.
Right, or that the writer's car is out of gas, and their dog is sick, and, you know, all of that stuff that writers, like everybody else, has to deal with real life, and it is there's sort of an optical illusion, I think, where books now seem to come out. You know, I had one person say to me, you know, this book should have been out by now because books come out 1 year apart. And I said, I have no idea who told you that, but that's
exactly
not the case. But I think it's become what people expect. And I just can't write that way. I can't write a book like The Book of Life, you know, in 6 months. It's not going to happen. It's too complicated. And all of those details that the readers love, you know, they take time to work out. And as I said, to get them right. So we do need to sort of remember to give authors the time to write the wonderful books that we love. If you do, in fact, want more of them, you just have to have a little bit of vampire patience.
Yeah, some people wait until all the books are out and then they read them one after the other, which makes it's like watching a TV series. You want to watch the whole season at once, you know, because it's like a drug almost.
Right, it's like a book binge. I mean, it's what one person described it to me. You know, I'm going to go on, I haven't read any of your books, but I'm going to have a book binge in July and read all of them back to back. And I remember those days. You know, I remember when I first found the Inspector Lynley mysteries by Elizabeth George, and been out for a long time. I just, you know, I was like, you know, one after another, I couldn't stop, and I just read them until there were no more to read. And I love that. I completely understand that.
So you have a full-time job. You're still teaching, too. So
I do. So I'm still teaching. I'm a professor at the University of Southern California. So, you know, among other things, people say, well, what's next? And I said, well, spring semester.
Exactly.
Will be next. And that's, again, I mean, my books come from 20 years of being an educator and doing research into all kinds of historical and scientific topics. And, you know, somebody said, well, why don't you just quit your job so you can write faster? I said, well, because actually it's sort of my job that has produced these books that you love. So, you know, we don't want to ruin that part of it. So yes, still teaching, still loving it. Can't wait to meet my new students this year. So that's all in my future.
Well, we have to let you go. Unfortunately, I could talk to you for hours because the series is fascinating, and I'm just so enjoying it. Thank you for writing it. And I'm sure the fans would love to thank you too.
Well, thank you all for reading it, because, you know, that's the relationship, right? The writer, there's a writer-reader relationship, and it's one of the great things about the upcoming weeks is that I am going to get to meet so many readers out there on the road all over America and in Canada and in the UK. So looking forward to meeting the readers and saying thank you in person.
All right. So the book, again, is called The Book of Life. It's the third book in the All Souls Trilogy. It's hard to say for some reason. And it's out from Viking. Thank you very much. This has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown,